Al-Bayan Radio presents a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi
presented by Farhan bin Rafi' Ahmed.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillah fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil falan tajid lahu waliyan murshida. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah تبارك وتعالى alone. We seek His blessings and assistance and guidance in all things. He whom Allah تبارك وتعالى guides, there is no misguidance for Him. And he whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no guidance for him except through the will and permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone. And I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was the final messenger and prophet sent to all of mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. Do not die except that you are Muslims. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we have reached, I believe this is lesson 11 of the short explanation of the 42 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. And last week, we began the hadith number 5, where it is related by the mother of believers, أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد رواه البخاري ومسلم وفي لفظ لمسلم من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. We began this hadith, the hadith of عائشة رضي الله عنها, the most knowledgeable of the women على الإطلاق, without any exceptions. And what the hadith is that whoever innovates or introduces into our affair that which is not from it, then it is rejected. And the second hadith, the second lafz that is found in Muslim, is that whoever performs an action that is not in accordance to our affair, then it is rejected. Just before we start, last week we mentioned, when we were going through the first part of the hadith, when we're going through the biography of the narrator, Aisha radiallahu anha, we mentioned a book. And we said that if someone wanted to go through the story of the ifk, the story of the accusations that were gone against Aisha radiallahu anha, then they could go through the book in English. And the book was called The Hadith of the Ifk, as published by Salafi Publications by Abu Talha Dawood Burbank. Now this is available at Darussalam in person. I don't believe it's online, but inshallah it will be. But a few brothers and sisters were asking about it, so inshallah that was the book that we went through part of the lesson last week. This hadith, now as we go into the matan, the actual laf, the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith, subhanAllah, is an asl. It's an integral principle and foundational foundation of this religion. And this hadith is a rejection. A rejection of all forms of newly invented matters in this religion, whether they are beliefs, statements, or actions. In reality, this hadith further explains and goes hand in hand with the first hadith that we took, the hadith of Umar radiallahu an, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتَهُ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The hadith that we first took, that indeed actions are judged according to the intention. This hadith goes hand in hand. How? These two hadith, subhanAllah, make up the conditions of the action, whether it is being accepted or rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first hadith is your intention, and that is the first pillar of any action.
whether it is going to be accepted or not. So it needs to be sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we took in the first lesson. And the second principle of your action being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found in this hadith here. It has to have mutaba, it has to have the action that you perform, it needs to be in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah, in accordance to the understanding of the Salaf, the pious predecessors. And يعني, I want to explain, I want to give you an example. For instance, the first is sincerity. A person comes and he prays Fajr, and he's really feeling it. He's really feeling close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sincerely says, I want to make this prayer 5 rak'at. He's doing it out of sincerity. He wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is his action going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We say from the second hadith here that no, it is rejected. Because you've come with the first pillar of sincerity, but you've missed the second, where it has to be in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah. It has to have a dalil. And an example of the second is that someone comes and prays. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you see me pray. Do the prayer as I do the prayer. And so he does in his sujood, in his ruku', in his standing, in his tadallul, just he looks like he's there. However, he's not doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's doing it for the people that to look at him. So over here, using this first hadith, we say, no, you didn't do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore your action is rejected. So these are the two conditions of a person, that he comes with ikhlas, he comes with for sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second is that it has to be in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah. It has to have some sort of evidence that you're going to do whatever action that you want to do. Now, this is an example of that the Sunnah explains the Sunnah. As-Sunnah tufassiru ba'duha ba'da. The Sunnah explains part of it, explains the other part. The first hadith, if someone came and said, I'm just doing this sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't need anything else. Sincerity is the most important thing. But you're missing part of the deen. You're only taking one part. This deen is taken in its entirety, not just part of the deen. What we want to do is, before we start anything, is we want to go into the ruling of innovations in this religion. And inshallah, we'll go through the entire lafz of the hadith properly, and then we'll go through an overview of innovations in this religion. But before we start anything, what is the ruling of an innovation? What is the ruling of the scary word that everyone gets scared from? Bid'ah. What is the ruling in Islam? And the scholars, subhanallah, they say that after shirk, it's bid'ah, and then the kaba'ir. It's shirk as the worst. Then bid'ah, innovations in this religion, and then the rest of the kaba'ir. Subhanallah, that it's not just from the greater sins, right? It's worse than the greater sins, يعني just under shirk. يعني something to help us understand, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions, as found, this statement is found in Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 11, and he says, an innovation in this religion is more beloved to Iblis. An innovation in this religion is more beloved to Iblis than a sin. Why? This is because the sinner knows that he is a sinner, and then he will repent. But an innovator thinks that what he is performing and what he performs is a worship. Therefore, he does not repent. And this, the asal of this kalam of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is actually found much يعني, before him from Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the great scholars of the Salaf. And he says, an innovation is more beloved to Iblis than a sin, because a sin is repented from and an innovation is not repented from. And this is found in Dalaka'i's work, Rahimahullah, Sharh Usul al-Sunnah. And this just comes to you and tells you how severe innovation is in this religion. that it is from the acts of shaitan, from the acts of Iblis himself, that he is the one that is pleased with this. And he'll leave you to it. He'll make you feel like what you're doing is a good thing. Because he thinks and he knows that you think it's actually a good thing that you're doing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. What I want to do quickly is go through the hadith itself, and we want to go through word by word inshallah, the phrases itself, and then we'll go through inshallah, innovation as a whole. So the short explanation is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man ahdatha," whoever introduces. Whoever introduces. So over here now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very specific in who he's talking to. His talk is specific to the one who's actually the beginning of this innovation. The one who introduces it. Right? So over here, it's talking about the innovator who starts a practice. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Fi amrina hadha." This is very, very important. And we're going to come back to this inshallah when we explain. But fi amrina hadha, this affair of ours. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is talking about the matters of religion. Fi amrina hadha, not the dunya world. Nothing about the dunya is what we're talking about here. When we're talking about innovation, we are talking about innovated practices and beliefs in this religion. We're not talking about your AC, your plane, your spoon, pizza as a whole. Nothing about that. We're talking about things with this deen. Things that relate to this religion. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ma laysa minhu." So he's saying, whoever introduces into this affair that which is not from it. That which is not from it. Ya'ani, why this is important is because he wants to make a difference between two things. There is a time where a sunnah is forgotten by the people. A sunnah is forgotten by the people. So someone can come, like for instance, ya'ani, to some people, the sunnah after the wudu is a forgotten sunnah. Right? So if someone does this and gives life to the sunnah, it's from the deen. It's not outside of the deen. So he's giving life and reintroducing it in a manner that is new to the people. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam isn't talking about that. He's talking about actions that are not from this religion. He's talking about actions that have no asl in this deen, that have no dalil on its validity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, "Fahuwa rad." Then it is rejected. Your action is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are not doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهُ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. And if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you, then you have to what? Follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding you to do, to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to bring things from your pocket, not to bring things from your own whims and desires. You don't know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then inshallah we'll get to that. And then the second laf, there's a key difference, and this is why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brought both of the narrations in here, one from Bukhari and Muslim and one from Muslim. And this hadith is also found in Bukhari as well, the second one, but it's found mu'allaqan. Imam Bukhari didn't bring you the entire isnad, he only brought you part of the isnad. Therefore we don't say Bukhari brought this also, because it's not considered as part of Sahih al-Bukhari. That's why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لِمُسْلِمٍ. And in another narration, as found, as collected by Imam Muslim. Even though you will find this wording in Bukhari itself as well. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah doesn't hold it to be as sahih as the first one. That's the first issue. But this hadith itself, the second one, is sahih also. And Imam Nawawi yani brings it here for a purpose. Because there's a key difference. The first hadith, it says, "Man ahdatha." It says, whoever introduces into this affair. Right? The second hadith says, "Man amila amalan," whoever performs an action. Whoever performs an action. There's a difference there, right? The first one is the one who introduces it. The second one says, I don't care if you're introducing it or not, just the fact that you're doing it itself is enough for your action to be rejected. It's not about now where the origin of this practice is. The origin doesn't matter in the second laf. So this is more, it's broad. It's not as specific as the first. And that's why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings the second hadith itself. Because now it's, if you perform an action, regardless of if you have started it or if you're following someone else, it's upon you to know if is this action legislated in this religion or not. Is this action found in the deen or not? And that's the key difference that we find in both of these terms. Now, alhamdulillah, we've gone through the basic meaning of this hadith. Alhamdulillah. And this hadith, subhanAllah, is essential for every student of knowledge, every Muslim, whether it's someone who is يعني, if involved in the da'wah or not involved in the da'wah. This hadith is an asl. Remember in the first lesson we mentioned that Imam Ahmad says that there are three hadiths that the entire religion revolves around. The first one was إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالِ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The actions are judged by the intention. And he says the second hadith that the entire religion revolves around is this hadith here. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا. Right? The hadith of Aisha that we just took. And the third hadith, we'll get to it inshallah. They're all found in the Arba'een. They're all found in the 42. We'll get to it bi-ithnillahi tabarak wa ta'ala. But this hadith is essential for everyone to understand because it is an hujjah for you against everything that goes against the Quran and the Sunnah. Whether it's a belief, whether it's an action, whether it's a statement, mahma kan, whatever it is for you as a protection for you against anything that is introduced into this religion. Now, the topic of bid'ah, innovations, is يعني, very, very, it's a touchy subject. It's a very sensitive issue. And what we want to do is go down deeper, if possible. And what we want to try to do is break down some of the arguments that allow newly invented matters in this religion. Firstly, what does the word bid'ah mean? What does the word innovation mean? The word bid'ah, linguistically, it means something new. A new invention. Whether it's part of the religion or not, linguistically, something that's new. Something that hasn't been done before. Right? And in the Sharia, one of the, يعني, there have been many, many definitions of bid'ah in the Sharia by various scholars. Some are more correct than others. The most correct, wallahu a'lam, is the famous ta'rif, the famous definition as given to us by Imam al-Shatibi rahimahullah in the famous book Al-I'tisam. The famous meaning, the definition of bid'ah as found in Al-I'tisam, tariqa fi al-din, mukhtara'a tudahi biha al-shar'iyya, that it is an innovated method in this religion. An innovation, a bid'ah, is an innovated method in this religion that rivals the method of the Sharia, that rivals the method of this deen. And inshallah, we'll go deeper into this, that يعني, firstly, it's a way that rivals something that's also found in the Sunnah, because every worship that you want to do, right, there is an asl that's prescribed for you. For instance, I want to give you an example. If someone says, and this is just an example, Rabbana laka alhamd, and he adds the word wa shukr. Right? Over here, you've added something that's not found in the sunnah. We say over here, you've added something that's not found in the sunnah. Why do we say this is dangerous? Because you're missing out on something that is found in the sunnah. Hamdan kathiran mubarakan tayyiban fi. Right? Rabbana lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. This there is found in the sunnah. So you're choosing something from yourself and you're neglecting something that's actually prescribed for you. So this is why it's dangerous. So over here, you're choosing something that's rivaling what's found in the Quran and sunnah. And that's why it's so dangerous. But inshallah, what we want to go through is the famous concept, the dangerous concept of a good bid'ah. A bid'ah that's good. A bid'ah hasana, as يعني, most of us have heard. And what we say is, firstly, the question is there any such thing as a bid'ah hasana? Is there any such thing as a good innovation? We say yes and no. Outside of the religion, outside of the deen, we say that yes, there are inventions out there that are good. There are inventions, if you take the linguistic meaning, not the shar'i meaning, if we take the linguistic meaning of something new, then over here we say, okay, if you see a plane, you say that's actually a pretty good invention. When you see your TV, or you see your car, or you see your AC, you can say that linguistically this is a good bid'ah. However, when we look into the religion, is there any such thing as a good innovation? And what we say is that there is no such thing in this religion, period. Unequivocally, we say there is no such thing as a bid'ah hasana in this religion. Why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا, whoever performs an action, whoever performs any action, not specific actions, any action, لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٍ, then it is rejected. So he hasn't left any gap, that whoever performs an action except if it's good. He hasn't said that. He said whoever performs an action, regardless of what it is, it has to be in accordance to our affair, or if it's not, it is rejected. It's not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to further this point, Imam Malik rahimahullah, he says a beautiful statement, and this statement, subhanallah, they, as the mathal says, that it should be written in words of gold. But he says, مَنِ ابْتَدَعَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ بِدْعَةً يَرَى حَسَنًا, that whoever introduces an innovation in Islam and sees it to be a good innovation, whoever introduces into this religion and sees it as a good bid'ah, as a good innovation, as a good invention, فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ خَانَ الرِّسَالَةِ, he has accused Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of betraying the message. Why? لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم, because Imam Malik says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that today I have perfected upon you religion. Nothing new comes after today in the matters of the religion. No halal, haram, nothing. This is it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there was not a prophet before me except that he guided his ummah to all that was good and warned them from all that was evil. This is what the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's responsibility was, to tell us what was good and to warn us from what all that was evil. Everything good that was there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed us and told us. And everything that was evil, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us against it. So if you say that there is something there that he didn't tell you, you are accusing him of not doing his mission. You are accusing him of not fulfilling his message. And then Imam Malik rahimahullah, he says something beautiful. He says, فَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دِينًا فَلَا يَكُونَ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا. He says, whatever was not part of the religion on that day is not part of the religion today. The religion is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the Sahaba. And the Sahaba took it on and they understood it better than anybody else. And so this is one of, obviously, the many evidences, but there is one evidence, subhanallah, that says that there is no innovation in this religion that is good. In this religion. Again, remember, we're not talking about the dunyawi affairs. We're not talking about the way that you ride your car. And this is something that they bring always. That, if you so against innovation, how come you ride a car? Why aren't you riding a camel like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They always say it. But we're not talking about the dunya. We're talking about the matters of the deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said by Irbad al-Nasari radiallahu an, قَالَ وَعَظَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam مَوْعِظَةً وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ وَذَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ. Irbad al-Nasari radiallahu an says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered an eloquent sermon that shook our hearts and brought tears to our eyes. فَقُلْنَا, Arbad ibn Asariya says, and so we said, Ya Rasulullah, كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِذَةُ مُوَدِّعٍ, فأوصنا. He says, O Messenger of Allah, this is as if it is a farewell address. It's as if you're going to leave us. So advise us. Advise us. What was the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. I advise you to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be God conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ وَإِنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ. And he says to listen and obey even if a slave was put over you in charge. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. He says, whoever lives among you will see great difference, will see great conflicts, great differing. Rasulullah sallam is already saying, this is what's going to happen after I die. You're going to see differences, you're going to see conflict, you're going to see fitan. What's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice? He knows what's going to happen. So he's telling you, this is the marad, this is the disease, what's the cure? What's the way out? What's my advice to you when you see it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. And upon you is my sunnah. Upon you is my way. And he says, وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ. And the method, the sunnah of the four, or the sunnah of the rightly successors after me, the rightly guided successors. And he says, subhanallah, the way that he mentioned this, he says, عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. He says, bite onto it with your molar teeth. He says, bite onto it with your back teeth. يعني a firm grip. A grip that you don't let go. No one can rip it from you. Hold onto it with your molar teeth. Firmly. This is what he says. Hold onto his sunnah firmly. And says, وَإِيَّاكُمْ. He says, and be careful. Be weary. Be warned. إِيَّاكُمْ. Rasulullah is giving you a warning. After he's telling you what the prescription is, he's saying the marad is fitan, ikhtilaf, conflict, difference. And he says, the dawa, what is it? It's holding on to the sunnah of Rasulullah and the pious predecessors, the sunnah al-khulafa, the four rightly guided khalifas, the successors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, wa iyyakum, and he's warning you again. He says, be weary of what? وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And subhanallah, this is why we mention this entire hadith, for these two words. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And beware of newly invented matters, يعني in this religion. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلَّ, every innovated matter in this religion is a misguidance. And this is why we brought the entire hadith. Every innovation in this religion is a misguidance. Rasulullah didn't say every innovation except if it's good. Every innovation in this religion, whether it's an act, whether it's a statement, whether it's a creed, if it goes against this deen, if it's not found in the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, then it is rejected. It is rejected. Subhanallah, when we talk about innovation in this religion, what we want to do is, how do you see if something is a bid'ah? What are the characteristics of an innovation? How can you define something as being an innovation or not? And generally, and the scholars, يعني, they have differences in the characteristics, the awsaf of the innovation. But the easiest one that I've seen, Allahu A'lam, is the one that says the characteristics of the innovation is four. And the four is al-adad, al-hay'a, al-zaman, al-makan. The amount, the manner or the way, the time or the place. Each four of these are the characteristics of innovation. يعني something is wrong in one of these four. For instance, the amount. As we mentioned, someone wanted to pray, for instance, 6 raka'at for Fajr. innovation. Why? Because it goes against the amount that's prescribed. Right? The second, if someone, for instance, this is in the hay'ah, this is in the manner or the way, that for instance, someone wants to do sujood before ruku'. It's not like that because it goes against the hay'ah, the way Rasulullah ﷺ taught us to pray. The third is, for instance, if someone wants to pray just before Maghrib, after Asr. So it goes against the zaman. Or if someone, for instance, slaughters before the Salatul Eid, because Eid al-Adha is coming up soon. If someone slaughters before the Salah, then he's going against the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that anyone who does it before the Salah, he has to redo it. But يعني, the easier example is the one who prays before Maghrib in a time that is nahi, manhiyun an. We're not supposed to pray after Asr. We're not supposed to pray before Maghrib. It's a time that Rasulullah ﷺ told us not to pray in. So someone over here, he says, no, this time I want to make it a time of ibadah. I want to make it a time of prayer specifically. So we say over here, you've done something that's different to the way in the time frame that Rasulullah ﷺ told us to do things. And then makan is, for instance, if someone wants to do i'tikaf in his home, he wants to do it in his bed, or he wants to do it in a school, or he wants to do it at his work. No. وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِ. That you have to do i'tikaf in the masjid. Right? So these are some of the characteristics that go against. If something goes against these characteristics, if something's off in one of them, something is wrong now. Now something has become an innovation. But this, subhanAllah, is general. Right? This is generally how it's looked at. But one key thing that needs to be remembered, it's one major concept, subhanAllah, is that there are times that a person will do an action once or twice. He doesn't do iltizam. He doesn't persist in it. He doesn't do it frequently. It's genuinely a one-off. He's done something one time. One time. Over here, we say, عَمِلَ عَمَلًا عَلَى خِلَافِ السُنَّةِ أو خَالَفَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Over here, we don't specifically say that it's an innovation. If he does it one time, if he's done it as a one-off, we say over here, he's performed an action that contradicts the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has contradicted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can say either of these ones. But we don't say over here, he's performed a bid'ah. Why? Because he's done it as a one-off. He's not something that he does every day, or every second day, or every third day. He's done it just one time as a mistake. Mathalan. He's done it as a one-off. So over here, we say خالف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's gone in opposition to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's contradicted the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whereas, if he persists in the action, if he does it constantly, then now he has fell into an innovation. And now we say that the thing that he has performed, we call it a bid'ah, an innovation. And subhanAllah, this is mentioned, this whole principle is mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Taqiyuddin Ahmad ibn Abd al-Halim ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. This principle here is that the principle of iltizam, that someone does something frequently, this principle we find in the works of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and those before him as well. Now, this is something that's also important, because when we talk about deviation, when we talk about innovations, the first thing that comes to mind is the person who does it, does he become an innovator? Does he become a deviant? Does he become from Ahlul Bid'ah? Does he become from the people of innovation? And this is something that's very, very dangerous, because the scholars from the Salaf have warned us against the people of deviations, not to sit with them, not to listen to their kalam. So there's actual ahkam that go with this. But over here, we say, firstly, just by doing a bid'ah does not make you from Ahlul Bid'ah. You're not from Ahlul Bid'ah if you just do an action that's a deviation. Why? Firstly, the hujjah needs to be placed upon this person. The person needs to be given the proofs of why what he's doing goes against the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Why this is an innovated practice. If he accepts then khalas, alhamdulillah. But if he rejects the dalil after understanding it and after it has been presented to him, then now he has entered into a very dangerous affair, and he is now from the people of deviation, the people of innovation, from Ahlul Bid'ah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. And this principle here is mentioned by the great Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh, Hafizahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. And subhanallah, that is basically the main aspects of innovation that we wanted to cover. And there is something that if someone wanted to go a little bit deeper into it, is why do people think that deviation, there are certain types of innovation that are good, and basically you can trace it back to the 6th century of the Hijrah, basically to a scholar, Izzuddin bin Abdul Salam, a great scholar of the Shafi'i Madhab, that took on the position that a bid'ah can be of the 5 maratib. It could be wajib, it could be haram, it could be mubah, it could be hasana. Right? This is where it comes from, around 5-600 Hijri. And it was taken by his student Al-Qurafi, and it was propagated from that. And as we know, the great scholar, subhanAllah, Imam al-Shatibi, did a refutation on this principle, and he says, هَذَا التَّقْسِيمُ أَمْرٌ مُخْتَرَعٌ, that this يعني, definition, it's something that's a new invention. لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلٌ لَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَيْهِ لا يدل عليه دليل شرعي, that there is nothing in the Sharia that guides us to this. That's what Imam al-Shatibi says. But when you look deeper into it, where do they get this from? Where did this come from? It came from the understanding of bid'ah and not making a differentiation, between the bid'ah that comes in the religion and the bid'ah that comes in the world. Because يعني, the definition that a lot of people says, whatever wasn't present in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a bid'ah. In a way it's correct, but in another way it's incorrect. Yani there's a part of it that's correct and part of it that's incorrect. It's not accurate enough. Because when you say that anything that wasn't there in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you open a can of worms, that everything, even the means of transport that you take, is a bid'ah now. Right? But we say that the ta'rif of it has to be something that's very specific to the religion. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا, in this affair of ours, يعني the deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all forms of innovation, whether they're in the creed, whether they're in the actions, whether they're in the statements. And just a quick thing to the brothers who did come and the sisters who are here, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from all of us. I know it's يعني, this is a time of cold, and this is a time where it's actually very hard to يعني, stay up at this time. But I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all. Barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, wa jazakumullahu khairan, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.